Hello there. Hello, everyone, again.
Hello.
My name's Mickey. I'm one of the surgeons at Paragon, and I'm here with David.
Hello.
Who's the other surgeon, soft tissue surgeon, and we're going to talk to you today about dirty margins and how to deal with them. So I guess this is something that, unfortunately, we encounter from time to time in practice when we're removing tumours. And sometimes, I suppose, we're expecting... We actually go out, set out to do a surgery where perhaps we're not expecting to get complete margins. But I suppose most of the time we're dealing with it where we've tried to get margins, but perhaps we didn't achieve what we wanted to, or perhaps we thought we were dealing with a benign mass, but actually it turned out to be malignant. So, David, what are your thoughts on this? How do you think about this?
I think first and foremost, we need to think about the different sorts of cancer that we might be trying to remove, and whether or not those dirty margins are necessarily something to worry about, or at what stage do we panic, or do we wait and see? So I think the sort of cancer is quite important. For instance, if we are dealing with something like a mast cell tumor, we maybe want to be more proactive with dirty margins than we might have been with something like a low-grade sarcoma. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think so. But I think that context is really important, isn't it?
Yeah,
exactly. So, and context is going to cover a variety of things. The type of tumour is going to be really important. And also potentially, I guess, the grade of tumour, because you touched on that, didn't you? So clearly we're perhaps more worried about higher grade tumours. But having said that, I think also it's important to think about the staging.
Yeah, absolutely. So if we would... Typically, we would always want to stage our patients before going ahead with a surgical excision, whether that is for curative intent or for marginal intent surgery. So hopefully, if we've ruled out any sort of metastatic disease, then we may want to consider some further treatment regarding mopping up these dirty margins.
Yeah, because I guess if we do know that, particularly with mast cell tumours, I always think if they have metastasized, then actually it doesn't... Having dirty margins, whilst maybe disappointing, probably may not affect how we go on to treat.
Yes, exactly. The ongoing treatment is going to be very similar, and in which case we would probably want the dog to heal quicker with a less tension on its wound, perhaps.
Yeah, so what you're saying there then is if actually we've got evidence of metastasis, you're going to do a more limited surgery.
Yes, exactly, so that we can get quicker healing for the patient and then quicker with some follow-up treatment.
So. What are our options for dealing with dirty margins? So let's say we've got a soft tissue sarcoma which we've removed, and we had dirty margins. How can we advise the client? What are their options?
I think if we assume that we have a low to intermediate grade sarcoma, then we've got a few different options, don't we? We could always go for the wait and see approach and just see what happens. We know that there's about 10% recurrence rate of the low-grade sarcomas with dirty margins. So there is a chance that things don't come back, even though the margins might be dirty. However, I think if we want to be a little bit more proactive, we could think about either repeating surgery to surgically debride those margins, or we might want to consider some radiotherapy as well.
Cool. Okay, so what about chemotherapy? Does that work for soft tissue sarcomas?
Doesn't work particularly well for sarcomas, does it?
No, not on the whole. And I think sort of perversely, the time it does work is when you've got high-grade tumours, which clearly is a situation, whilst we can't avoid it, it's something we don't really want to encounter if we can.
Yeah, I suppose those higher grade ones we might want to consider if we know they are high grade tumors, we might have wanted to treat those differently in the first place, and perhaps do some neoadjuvant chemotherapy also to treat them with some things before going ahead with surgery at all.
Yeah, so I suppose one of the things with sarcomas is the difficult. We sometimes are faced with a situation where we can't get wide margins, aren't we? Particularly on the limbs or face. And as you've said, that those low grade tumors on the distal limb. There's actually a relatively low rate of recurrence even with marginal excision. So my approach for those tumours is generally to do a marginal excision, and then the owners have the option of doing nothing and hoping for the best. Radiotherapy is probably the gold standard in order to essentially kill any remaining tumour cells in the wound. The other thing that sometimes we do is metronomic chemotherapy.
Yeah, so this is the drugs that we use that try and slow down the spread of the disease by limiting the the blood supply to the cancerous cells. For instance, chlorambucil is one that we use quite often, isn't it?
Yeah, so low level, low dose of chlorambucil, often with a non-steroidal either. Well, traditionally it was piroxicam, but obviously meloxicam's
sort of taken off
and often used because it's a veterinary product. And yeah, you're absolutely right. So this can be used to essentially delay or stop recurrence. But it can be quite appealing to some owners because it's relatively well tolerated. It's well tolerated by pets and it's convenient, but it is essentially a lifelong treatment. So it's something we want to prevent recurrence. So we need to keep the dog on the treatment long term.
I suppose the other advantage of that it is relatively cost effective in terms of, or when compared to some of the more traditional chemotherapy drugs, it is a lot cheaper. So it's something that does have that advantage as well.
It's less alarming for some clients, yeah, that get quite put off by chemotherapy. So that can work quite well for incompletely excised soft tissue sarcomas. As we said before, radiotherapy is potentially really important in managing some of these incompletely excised tumours, both soft tissue sarcomas and mast cell tumours. Did you have much? I don't have much personal experience using radiotherapy because I've never worked anywhere that's had big radiotherapy units. But our oncologist Rodney now has this superficial unit.
Yeah. So I've had a few sarcomas here where we've aimed for marginal excision because the tumours were on the distal limb, so there wasn't going to be adequate closure to get a complete excision. Seems very well tolerated by the patients that I've sent through radiotherapy. So I've had very, very pleasing results so far. So
yeah, so we are able to offer superficial radiotherapy at Paragon, and this is a very useful potentially for, as the name suggests, superficial issues.
Yes.
So potentially for scar, treating scars that may have incomplete excision. So I think we've covered radiotherapy, metronomic chemotherapy, will do nothing. Occasionally, the other thing is obviously we can go back and recut.
Yeah, so
the scar, can't we?
Cutting out the scar tends to be quite a bothersome sort of way to approach these things, doesn't it? It does tend to be more difficult because we have to then take complete margins again, and taking the deep margin can be sometimes problematic when going in a second time, can't it?
Absolutely. Although I think it depends a little bit on where the scar
is.
So the flank is a great spot because you've got plenty of spare stuff, but sadly that we normally get complete margins because we normally do a bigger surgery there in the first place. Yeah.
So I think the situation is quite different. If we have mast cell tumours or carcinomas, for instance, I think I'll probably be more aggressive in terms of doing some form of adjuvant therapy rather than wait and see, specifically with mast cell tumours as well, specifically because they do have a much higher risk of recurrence. Do you find that the same?
Yes, I think so. I think if you've got dirty margins with mast cell tumours, then you need to treat them. Because of the concern of recurrence, yeah. The rate is high, but again, some low-grade mast cell tumours may not recur if you look at the literature, although, a lot of what we do is based on, or to my mind, is based on the client's attitude to risk.
Absolutely. I think sometimes we have to read the detail within the histopathology report as well. For instance, there will be some inflammatory mast cells at the edges of our excision, so sometimes you have to read the report very carefully to know whether they are neoplastic mast cells at the edges or whether they are potentially inflammatory. Sometimes the pathologist is very committal about them and sometimes they're less, unfortunately. So just takes sometimes a phone call to the pathologist as well.
I suppose the other thing with mast cell disease is that, it's important to warn the owners that whilst we might cure one, yes, it's possible the pet might develop a subsequent tumour that's essentially unrelated.
We do find a lot of those, especially in the small brachycephalic dogs, don't we? With a lot of pokes, they just keep coming back.
And the good news is they're normally low to intermediate grade, but still it's becomes a little bit of a challenge, particularly if owners are...
Absolutely. I know Rodney is still very keen to irradiate mast cell tumour excisions if there have been dirty margins. He's had very good success with that in the past. I've not sent a case to him recently here for mast cell tumour for radiotherapy.
I don't think I have, but it would certainly be a good option. I think, I suppose with all these things, with all these things, with both mast cell disease and sarcomas, if there's no evidence of metastasis, and often there isn't, then ideally, if we can remove them completely with surgery, then we can cure the dog. And I suppose that's where what we're setting out to do. So it's really surgery is ideal unless we're in a tricky position, like particularly on the limbs where it becomes very difficult. And the last thing, what I want to do is try and avoid a situation where I do a big surgery, don't get a margin, but leave a big hole, because it feels like I've failed in both on both counts.
I suppose then we've both failed from a curative intent and from a closure, which just makes everybody very sad, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I think the one thing that might be interesting is that if you guys have removed these things in practice, get the dirty margin, then I don't know what to do. You can always just give us a call and we can talk through these things again. Ideally, I think if these patients are going to be referred for further treatment, they probably come in through Department of Oncology initially, unless there is clear evidence of requirement for surgical disease, for instance, if the wound is broken down or something like that. But you can always just give us a call and we can talk through case by case individually.
What about amputation for soft tissue sarcomas on the limb?
Well, it would be a curative intent surgery, wouldn't it? I have amputated limbs for sarcomas. They tend to be the more aggressive kind or the very large kind. I think we've all been in situations where owners have ignored tumours for a very long time, and then all of a sudden these things burst or do something awful, in which case we've got very limited options in terms of our treatment.
Yeah, so for certain cases, an amputation is probably the last, only it feels like the last resort, but it may be the best treatment. I think if I'm faced with a dog that's got a soft tissue sarcoma on the distal limb, then sort of think, well, we can amputate it to get a cure, but actually I probably generally will sort of speak to the owners, preferential treatment is a marginal excision, and then either do nothing and hope for the best, or further treatment with radiotherapy or metronomic chemo.
Absolutely, and like all amputation cases, we need to consider whether the patient can cope on three legs. You should remember that these might be old and have other comorbidities to consider at the same time, and that might help guide our decision making with the clients.
Absolutely, yeah. And ultimately, I think as vets, our job is to give the client all the options so they can make the best decision for them and their pet.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we sometimes forget that people may have had previous experiences with certain treatment options. So it's nice to just give them all the options, pros and cons of all of these things, and then let the clients make the decision.
Yeah, I'm always surprised that occasionally they make a decision that you don't expect them to.
Yeah.
I suppose in terms of the amputation conundrum, I always sort of figure it's better to start with a marginal excision because you can always amputate later if things get worse.
I suppose the only downside of doing a double attempt is financial, I suppose.
Well, yes, of course.
So
financial decisions are really important for some, particularly for some clients.
Yeah, I think finances do drive us all into certain corners. And it's the same in first opinion practice, isn't it? That sometimes you just don't have the options that you would prefer.
Absolutely. Have you got any other thoughts you'd like to talk about, David?
I don't think so. I think one thing that is just good to remember is to try and minimize your tension on the wounds, so that sometimes a dirty margin may be better than a chronic non-healing wound if there is a lot of tension there. I would always rather err on the side of caution if radiation is or other treatment is going to be an option in the future. We do see quite a lot of wounds that have broken down and take a very long time to heal.
Mm. I suppose if you are thinking that the dog may need radiotherapy, then it can be useful to take photographs before and after surgery, can't it? So the other thing I sometimes think about is that obviously we don't, margin assessment is not necessarily an exact science. So sometimes what we can't see is what's left in the dog, and it's essentially a best guess on whether we've got a clear margin. And I think the thing to remember is that if you do a surgery and you get a dirty margin, then you're not the first, not unfortunately, you won't be the first, you won't be the last person that happens to. We've all been there, and we all have to sort of deal with that situation. There's lots of options. That's the thing to remember.
Yeah. I think one thing that can potentially make our lives a little bit easier or for the pathologist is to use the histopathological ink. I stain all of the edges and all of my skin excisions, just because that way you can both orientate things for the pathologist a little bit easier, but also you are more certain that the margins that have been assessed were your true surgical cut margins, as opposed to distorted margins because of the transportation.
Sometimes if it's got a very floppy sample, I'll actually stitch the edges together so they maintain the orientation. Do you do that?
Yeah, I place sutures through the skin and then through the fascia so that it orientates things, so the pathologist gets a true representation of what you saw at the time of surgery.
It's really useful sometimes, I think. The other thing I was going to say was that I've got lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah, so sometimes I think when we're in practice, particularly when owners are wanting to limit costs, is they just want you to take the lump off. And I think the thing to remember if you're doing that is if there's any concern that it could be a malignancy, it's better to do a sort of a very much marginal excision, so don't take a big margin, because if you take a small, if you don't take a margin, then essentially you're leaving a scar that's the same size as the original mass, and therefore it's easy to go back and do a revision surgery. Whereas obviously if you take a 1 centimeter margin, then maybe that might be not be adequate, but it will also make your revision surgery potentially harder. What margins do you normally take for sarcomas, David?
If I know it's a low grade sarcoma, I try to take at least 1.5 centimeters around. If I can get more, it makes me feel more secure. Of course, if we are aiming for distal limb surgery, that does become very difficult.
Yes.
But on the flank, I would probably aim for 2 centimeters around a low grade sarcoma at the minimum. Probably about the same for a mast cell tumour.
Yep. And what about the deep margins?
Yeah, so it's really important to try and aim for a fascial plane as well, isn't it? Because we know that these things can infiltrate down through fat. So you want to take it down to the fascia, which is that white shiny layer that we sometimes see over the top of muscles.
So sometimes we can actually take a layer of the underlying muscle if the fascia is not evident.
Yeah, if things don't look quite as clear, and we know that in lots of places around the body the fascia isn't so smooth, it's probably better to take a little bit of the muscle and sacrifice the muscle underneath than to compromise our deep margin.
Yeah. Are there any times when you would take more than 2 centimeters in one fascia plane? Oops.
Our injection site sarcomas were very worrisome, aren't they?
In cats,
yeah. Specifically, yes. So we always try and take 2 fascial planes with those, and maybe 5 centimeters around those. Those do tend to be very large surgeries.
Yeah, I suppose one of the problems with when you remove a lump is that the hole immediately becomes much larger than it started off, doesn't it? Which is always a bit alarming.
Yes, and with the injection site sarcomas in the cats, when we start taking off the tops of vertebra and scapula and those sorts of things, it does become a very large wound to close, and those can be quite difficult. And even more so if you then still get a dirty margin. Those would be very sad.
But I think that's why we encourage to take really big margins in there to try and make it curative. Because whenever we're doing surgery, there's always the first surgery is probably the best chance of achieving what we want to achieve, isn't it?
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. Well, I think that's probably enough to be going on with. There's a lot. We've covered an awful lot there. So if anyone's got any questions, then do feel free to call or email in. We're always very happy to talk about lumps and tumours and so forth, and help you manage your cases as you need.
And if you do have any of these tumours, you can always take photos of them. That really does help us out to see what you can see in terms of trying to give you the best possible advice as well.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, David, and thank you very much for listening. And see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.